Welcome back to One Day Closer with Mark and Dave, where we are rekindling a spirit of hope and truth in the crazy discussion, and we are broadening our outreach to try and include more young people, because we know there's a lot of revivals that are going on around the country and a lot of new believers. So at least for a couple shows, we're going to be giving some advice to maybe some of these new believers. So if you know any of them, or if you know somebody who's just kind of young in the Lord and not really up to speed, doesn't really read the Bible very much, maybe they're just one of these kind of casual Christians who punches a time clock for an hour and a half on a Sunday, point them to us too, because we're gonna share some things that I think might be helpful and encouraging and inspire them to get closer to God, because really, that's what it's all about.
That's it. Another thing. Hillsdale College.
Yeah.
Okay, Prager University, Prager U.
Yes.
Turning Point USA. There's others, but there's a few.
Yep.
So if you are connected to anybody over there, you know Charlie? Yeah, I mean, you know anybody at Hillsdale?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have any contacts, this is our listeners.
Okay,
That are old folks, right, that have been listening to us or whatever. If you have any connections, pick one of our shows. Maybe this one, maybe yesterday, maybe last Monday's show, and send it to them and say, hey, you know what? I've been listening to these guys or whatever. If you like us, that is, and say, you might want to, you know, listen, and maybe it's worth sharing. Maybe they'll put us on their website. Maybe they'll say to their kids, hey, here's two guys that are talking, you know, about politics, and they're also talking about religion, and they seem to have their act together, or they're balanced, or they're easy to listen to, or whatever. They're dumb as a brick, and that's what you don't want to grow up to be. I don't know what you're going to tell them, but, you know, if you have connections, help connect us.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we don't have those connections, mm-hmm. and so we would, any help we can get along that line, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we can send a letter or something, but the chances are that gets to the people we'd like to talk to is kind of slim, but you might have some connections. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be great.
So where do you want to pick up? We were talking about giving advice last Monday.
Yeah, we were talking about giving advice to new believers on where to start in the Bible, on how do you approach this thing. You know, one thing we didn't say last Monday that maybe we should bring up is that there's a general difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, besides just the fact that Jesus and the cross are, you know, right in between. In the Old Testament, we have to remember that this is mostly God speaking to the Jewish people and the Jewish nations that are around Israel in that part of the world. God is speaking to those people and making history unfold, basically.
That's right.
So it's all about the Jewish nation, the Jewish beliefs, what God, how God wants them to live, how God is going to redeem their sins temporarily through sacrifices at the temple and this kind of thing, but all those things are temporary, and really it's a shadow, one of our guys likes to say, shout out to Lou, it's a shadow of what was going to come in the New Testament,
right,
when Jesus becomes a sacrifice, and then everything, there's no more temple worship anymore. In fact, God was so intentional about getting rid of that old way of life that he brought the Babylonians in AD 70 to destroy the temple so they couldn't do that kind of church anymore.
Right.
And that's because there's now a new way. And I've always say it's a better way.
Yes.
And the better way is to follow Christ, accept his sacrifice, and that alone allows God to write our name in the book of life.
That's it.
And that's what he's hoping.
That's the name of the game.
Yep.
That's the name of the game. And it's not just so you get your name in the book, right, so you can sit on the side. This is where Mark and, you know, the whole thing last week about salvation. Well, I believe, and I think, Mark, you're almost there, that we have a job to do post-salvation.
Right.
Right? And it's not a works campaign, and it's not I'll get a better street than you are on. I'll have better gold in my streets, a bigger house or something like that. Come on, we're not talking about that.
No.
We are talking about when you finally get it, and you see what the mission of Christ was, and you see what the point is for you. It's not about you. Yes, it is about you getting saved. We want you to get saved. Salvation. It's all about you, baby. But once that happens, it isn't about you anymore. You're a player now. You are in the good sense.
Right.
Right? I mean, you're now a disciple. You're now a teacher. You're an educator. You're on point. You're responsible. You're accountable. You're hit the field, Spanky. It's time to go.
You're a watchman.
You're a watchman.
Yeah.
Right? And you become all those titles. The more you read, the more you learn, the more you grow, the more you understand your gifts. You exercise your gifts and you go, wow, I am a good speaker. Or, wow, I didn't know that every time I pray for people, they seem to get healed. But you learn what your gifts are over time. Then you realize, wow, it is. I get it.
Yeah.
Dave and Mark were right. It is about something post getting saved. I have a job to do. I have gifts, for crying out loud. And I have a responsibility, and God's counting on me, and he's encouraging me and helping me and opening doors left and right so that these gifts can be deployed.
Right.
And I'm not afraid to talk at my work environment anymore.
Yeah,
I don't avoid those conversations because I can answer the questions from the naysayers without getting in a fight.
Yeah.
I've figured out how to craft a response that's more of a question full of hope than a embattled, you know, arrow that I've thrown back at him because I'm a believer and you're going to hell.
Or you've discerned that, you know, it's not worth spending your time on this guy.
I'm just going to love on him.
Yeah. You know, you're going to just give him a gift instead. Let that speak to him.
There you go. Isn't that good? That's some good stuff.
Yep.
Okay, so you got the Old Testament out. That's good. So we asked the guys last week if they had any good input, wise counsel for all of you, because most of them are older than us. Okay,
and we're old.
Don't tell them that. And it was interesting. One of the ones that was offered was point them to the internet.
Yeah,
and I thought, well,
that's where the young people live.
Duh. But then it was a duh on Dave, right? Because it was like, well, of course, that's right. Point them to the internet. So a lot of resources out there. We have one. We're not the only one, but we have one.
Yeah.
Our
website?
OneDayCloser.biz.
There you go.
No spaces. But you know what? If you go out and start doing Googling things or Facebook or the other day, I was on Instagram, I guess it was, and they have the Reels. If you've enjoyed or liked a couple of Christian kind of reels or something like that, you'll find that your feed gets full with similar stuff. And I was amazed the other night when I clicked on something, and it was called Grace Church St. Louis. And I used to go to Grace Church St. Louis.
Oh, really?
But it wasn't that church. It was. I got the logo wrong.
Okay.
I went to a Grace Church, but it was not that one. Anyway, I clicked on it, and it was a boatload of praise and worship songs from their praise and worship team.
Okay. Nice.
Hundreds of them. And I'm going, wow. I clicked on one. Beautiful music. Beautiful music. Mm. And it dawned on me. It says, you know, not all the youth of America are dirtbags. They're not all stupid.
That's right.
Right? There are those that are going through a revival. There are those that go to church. There are those that are part of Turning Point and PragerU and all these other wonderful, Hillsdale and all these other wonderful places. And that should encourage all of us. So on the internet, go to those places, find those places. You'll be encouraged. It's not just your church that you can get fed from.
Yeah, absolutely.
The internet can feed you on. Just teach you all the Bible Project. There's another one. If you're new to this and you're going, boy, I have a hard time understanding some of the Old Testament stuff. I really have a hard time understanding, you know, Revelations or Peter or Ephesians. Who's he? It's a town. Okay. It's a city, but, whatever the Bible Project, you know how they do the little characters where they draw the picture real quick for you
and it builds
it for you.
Yes. Yes.
And so it's visual learning. That's what that is. Mm-hmm. You can read the story, but if you can visualize what's going on, a lot of people are visual learners. I happen to be a visual learner.
Yes.
And so they do it in fast time. But the teaching is
excellent.
Is excellent.
Yeah, Bible Project.
Yeah, the Bible Project. And you go, wow, I get that. I get that. Why that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Why Jonah had to go and do his deal. Why Nineveh was the way they were. They explained the corruptness of that city.
Right.
And why Jonah didn't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Right? I don't want to go to that city. I could care less about those people. And you hear the story and you see it painted before you. And then when you read the book, right, or the story in the Bible, mm-hmm. it makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
So if you haven't tried that out, try that out. TheBibleProject.com. .com.
Yep. And there's another one too. There's like Bible Gateway and BibleHub.com on both of those. Those are basically just online Bibles. And what's great about them is that not only can you search for specific words, and that's an interesting way to study the Bible too, is just by a word. I'm gonna search the word or a person.
Yeah.
I'm gonna search for Saul or Jonathan or David or Paul.
Not in the Bible.
Yeah.
My name is though, but it's go ahead.
Yeah, it's not this Dave. It's
come on,
King Dave. Come on.
I feel like a king.
Or are you going to search the word on grace? Or are you going to search the word for whatever? So you can search in these Bible apps or Bible websites. Not only can you search for a word or a passage, you can also search different versions of the Bible, and you can compare one version of the Bible to another. Now, Dave, what kind of a version would you like people to follow?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me that, doggone it, and I'm going to tell you what I think I'm the New American Standard. You talking about?
Yeah,
version
I'm talking
of
about
the...
version. Yeah, and I'm New American Standard too. They call it NASB.
That's
B's for Bible.
Yeah.
I prefer that because it's word for word supposed to be a more accurate translation from the Greek and Hebrew into English.
Yes.
So New American Standard is a great version to learn on. And I told this to one of the guys today. We were talking about versions of the Bible, and what ends up happening is whatever version you learn from when you first become a Christian, that's generally the version of the Bible that you'll prefer the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So start with a good version. You don't want to start with a version that's not very accurate. And the New King James that doesn't have all the these and thous, and that's really hard English to read and understand, the New King James is just straight English.
Yeah.
They've taken out all the these and thous in a straight English, and that's probably a good version too.
But when it gets that, when you get that anal on trying to, you know, dig in that deep,
yeah.
You know, if you have the Bible on your phone, mm-hmm. a lot of apps, one of the apps that I use is just called the Bible, and you can underline everything, you can highlight stuff, and it gives you the verse of the day that, you know, in your email.
Right.
But you can actually be reading it and go, okay, I want to see it. I want to see, what does King James say about that?
There you go.
And you can see three or four different versions instead of having to go buy three or four different types of Bibles.
Nice. So right? All that's available online.
Yeah. And so that's an online thing. You guys should be able to pick that up. No problem. Hey, I want to say something before we jump to break. So while we're giving you all these fatherly little kind of ditties, one thing one of the guys said was constructive criticism. Remind the youth to be open-minded and help them to break through the lies and the untruths.
There's so many lies and untruths out there.
And here's how I'm going to answer that question. Listen to this podcast.
There you go.
Okay. We started it a year ago for that very purpose, because we were sick and tired of all the lies that government was telling us, the church was telling us, mm-hmm. pastors were telling us, Fauci was telling us. Right. Well, I mean, we were sick of all that. And so those are lies. Those. Right. And so we spend a lot of time trying to expose the political stupidity. I mean, that's what our thing says. We are here to rekindle the spirit of hope and truth into the crazy conversation, because there's a lot of lying going on. There's Republicans and Democrats, both sides.
Right.
We happen to stand on the conservative side of the aisle.
Right.
Right. But there's just as many dirtbag Republicans as there are dirtbag Democrats that mm-hmm. are lying, that are all about themselves, that could care less about us.
Swamp dwellers.
They're swamp dwellers, and we've got to get rid of them. And you will hear without any apology that
right.
from us 90% of the time. But yep. we always try to spend time in the Bible. So lately, we've been doing a lot of Bible.
Right.
For a reason. It's the end of the year. We just had Christmas. Now we realize we're going to be in a political year. Hey, I'll tell you what. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, if you were listening, you would have learned a boatload about Israel. You would have learned that Palestine doesn't exist as a nation.
Right.
And you'd realize that, you know, those people that, you know, protest that we were calling dumb as bricks are literally dumb as bricks. And hopefully you're not one of those. But if you are, listen and go try to find Palestine on the map. Try to find it, the location.
Yeah.
Find out where they came from. Find out. Answer some. Go ahead and ask some of the tough questions, because we did for almost 2 months. We covered that whole Israeli thing, the whole history of, you know, who's Ishmael, who is the son of who,
right?
Who are the Canaanites? Why is that cursed?
Yeah.
Why doesn't Egypt take them? Why doesn't Jordan take them? Yes. Why doesn't anybody care about these people? They're fellow brothers. But nobody wants them. I mean, what's up
Esau,
with that?
Yeah. And who did God give the land to?
Yes.
It actually tells you in Genesis 15, 17, I think it was.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cool things. And we will help you to discern and decipher what's a lie and what's not a lie.
That's right.
Hopefully. God's going to hold us accountable for that. We know that. We get that. And so we're going to do our very best to be faithful to that.
There's going to be non-believers who will tell you that the stories in the Bible were just all made up. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be non-believers tell you that the Bible has changed so much in its translations over the years that it's no longer what it used to be. Lie. There's proof and evidence that that is a complete lie. There's all kinds of things that non-believers are going to tell you that are lies. And the best thing to do is just investigate it yourself.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
By reading the Bible. You know, that reminds me. I saw a testimony of a gal. She was MIT professor. Smart lady. Super smart. And of course, she thought all the Christians were idiots. They were dumb. That Christianity, it's just a crutch, you know, because you guys are so stupid. But she had never read the Bible. And she thought that if she was going to be a legitimate
voice against
the Christianity, that she ought to at least read the Bible so she can learn the stupidity that they're reading.
So she got saved and she's she's a priest somewhere?
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
She's not a priest, but she got to reading it and she realized that, dang, not only is it historically accurate, but there's all kinds of wisdom in there.
She saw the light.
A spiritual world that the MIT professor didn't really understand, and that she learned all those things through the Bible, and she became a believer, and now she doesn't ridicule him anymore.
Well, good for her.
See?
There you go. All right, so we need to take a break.
All righty.
Somebody's got to go to the bathroom.
Happy people don't cheat. Happy people don't lie. They don't judge or hold a grudge or don't criticize. Happy people don't hate, happy people don't steal. 'Cause all the hurt sure ain't worth all the guilt they'd feel.
Hey man, that's good stuff right there.
Happy people.
You know, all the people that do all those things,
yeah,
they're miserable.
Yeah.
They're miserable.
Yeah, well, that's the way I was when I was doing those things.
The gaba, man. It's miserable.
I was miserable when I was trying to do it my own way.
Yeah, outsmart everybody.
And I decided that I didn't know anything and that it really wasn't going very good doing it my way, so I thought I'd try Jesus, and that's what I did. And all of a sudden, things changed.
There you go. How about that? It's amazing how
that works.
That's
the way it goes.
You know, one of the things you wrote down on your list of advice you wanted to give, you said, don't wait to follow God. I thought that was a good.
Yeah.
I can't imagine people postponing that. But the more I thought about it, the more I went, yeah, well, I did too, actually.
Well, you know, I wanted to postpone it because I had an understanding at least. It's funny how God can just put a little bit of understanding in our heart about good versus evil. And I didn't want to follow the good path. Because basically, I'd have to sacrifice maybe, you know, trying to hook up with a girlfriend,
yeah,
or
maybe
I was, you know, maybe wanting to, you know, smoke weed.
You know? Well, I thought you were going somewhere else. Yeah. Keep it clean.
There was, you know, those are the things that wanted to keep me from following God. And when I realized I didn't have those things anyway, or that I was miserable anyway, it's like, I think I'll just give God a chance and see how it goes. And man, it's been great ever since.
It's been good ever since.
Yep.
You had another one in there that I thought was good. It said, take the hard road.
Yeah.
You know, you learn a lot more and you accomplish a lot more.
Yeah.
I think that's good. So, you know.
And not only just spiritually, but in life in general. You know, if you have two job opportunities in front of you and you get to choose, choose the hard one.
Well, that's one way to look at it. Now, I can tell you this for a fact. Always take the high road.
Okay. That's usually the hard road, too.
It is the hard road. Right. But I just wanted to make the difference that the hard and the high, kind of the same thing, but not necessarily all the time.
Yes.
But you take the high road, even though you deserve, you know, you're not going to get what you deserve. You're going to get screwed. Right.
Sometimes, you're right.
You're going to do the morally right thing.
Life happens. That's right. Sometimes.
But that reward comes to you later. You know, it's part of that testing, you know, of trials and tribulations and how did you handle it. God scores those. He scores those.
Yeah.
He gives you these opportunities and these challenges sometimes to build your faith, right? And to build your confidence so that when you really get shafted,
or
run over by a bus, you can pop up real quick.
Yeah.
Because you go, no, not today. Not today. I'm not going to let that bother me. I forgive you. I'm done with you.
You know, that reminds me of like a modern parable. The question is, God, why am I going through all this hard stuff? Well, because Mark and Dave told you to take the hard road, take the high road. But also, you get kind of frustrated in that. And you cry out to God and go, why is life so hard? Why is it life so hard? I'm just drowning. I feel like I'm drowning. I had a moment in my life where I felt like I was drowning.
Were you sleeping?
I was in school.
Oh.
No, I was in school. I was doing with finals. I had taken a bunch of courses and decided that the course I was on was not right. And Christmas was just happening and I was just overwhelmed. And I just curled up on the ball on the couch going, What? I feel like I'm drowning, God. Why am I going through this? And God just, you know, kind of whispers into your mind sometimes an answer. And that's the way God sometimes speaks to us. And he said, because your enemies can't swim.
Wow.
That's why you feel like you're drowning now, because I'm taking you through something that's going to make you so much better in the future, and your enemies aren't going to be able to deal with you because your enemies can't swim. You're learning how to swim right now.
Wow.
So
that's pretty deep.
That was kind of a deep little moment that I had, and it's kind of true. And when you choose the hard road, it might be hard. That's why it's the hard road. But you'll look back at that and go, yeah, that was the better choice.
Yeah.
That's the better way to go.
That was very deep. You know, you talk about, you know, some of the roads that we take. And so let's say that they don't have a family yet, right? They have a career.
Okay.
Right? So they've started their career and somewhere along the line, they're going, doggone it. I want to follow Christ.
Yeah.
They get this story down. They start looking into it. And so they're probably struggling with, well, I got to advance.
Make the money.
You've got to make the money. So I've got to separate myself, you know, so that the bosses see that I'm better than everybody else. How else do you get a promotion?
Right.
And then how do you balance that with this whole humble story of servanthood and what the Bible pretty much tells you? And so, you know, if you're looking for something to occupy your mind, dwell on that.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Right. You'll have a lot to think about. Right. You won't be able to, you'll have to drop off on the, you know, you may not have time for porn anymore.
Absolutely.
You might not have time for stupid stuff anymore. Right. When you start going, what does the Bible say about how do I treat other people at work or that I work with that are doing people wrong? But and so you'll learn sometimes you want to share and sometimes not. Sometimes you just let your light shine, which is another way of saying, why don't you do the right thing and lead by example?
Yeah.
And don't worry about whether your boss sees it or not. Just do it anyway, because everybody else sees it.
Yeah.
Right? And you will be rewarded, because the word will get out that you sacrifice something for one of the scumbag fellow workers.
Right.
Right? And had a different approach. But those are things that are not a waste of time to try to ponder.
Yep.
Because when you figure them out and you go, oh, I now know why I went through that swimming exercise, like you just pointed out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I can tell you I hate to even admit this. So I'm well into my 60s.
Oh, the juicy stuff.
I'm still well into my 60s. And I worked for somebody when I first started out and then quickly realized, no, I'm an entrepreneur, which was a nice way of saying, I know better than everybody else.
Yeah.
So that's the bad side of that equation,
yeah.
Right? But I started my own thing.
Is that the pride again?
That's the pride thing. And so I did my own thing, and I learned a lot about, and then I went and worked in the consulting business where I worked for, where there's 90,000 people that knew everything.
Yeah.
Right? So try to stand out in that group.
A lot of cooks.
You make a stand. I made a stand several times.
Yeah.
Some out of stupidity, right? Just disagreed with the boss, mm-hmm. and got whacked. And then I made some decisions in my own business that I owned that were that I decided to do something. I made a video about some children that died, right? And there was a stranger, right?
Mm.
And so I put out a public service announcement. I had a video company that I took the time to go and put this video together about, don't put your kid's name on their backpack, you dumbass. You know, that's how people get kidnapped.
Oh.
Susie, can you help me find my dog? And,
right.
You know, how did he know that it was Susie? Well, the name's on the back of her backpack, you dork. Don't do that. So anyway, we did that. And I spent so much time doing that. And the video was featured on McDonald's tray liners. And all the money went to Ronald McDonald House.
Oh.
Okay. But I spent more time doing that to where my business suffered, right? Because I was too busy trying to promote this other thing. And it turned out it was a good thing, right? Because I ended up selling that business and just got into a different business altogether.
Right.
But I was out of work. If I look back over my career, I was out of work for four years, something like that.
Right.
So I went out of work, you know, for 6 months. And then I was looking for a job for a year. And then I was looking for a job once for 18 months. Now I was doing some gigs in between all that.
Mm-hmm.
But 18 months before I had back in the job market again. And that's painful, because you're asking, they're going, I remember praying for a job, Mark. I don't know why I'm showing this out. But anyway, I remember praying for a job. And I had been at this for 7-8 months. And I was in the 50s, 50-ish. And I knew I was on the older set, older. That they didn't want to hire somebody that old.
Right.
Even though I had the skill sets and da 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 da. And anyway, this job was about traveling around and teaching younger people how to build a business, like a CPA business. So young little CPA, how to make phone calls and build your book.
Mm-hmm.
That was the deal. And so there was several hundred of these, and they were located in all these places that I would travel around and help them understand how you do it. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful job. Boy, God, that would be awesome. I would be able to help them understand not only how to build a book of business and treat people, and I could really talk about God, and I could, that's my mission. That's my mission.
You could mentor all these people.
I could mentor all these wonderful people. And here's the deal. I prayed. This is what my prayer was. God, I'm praying for that you'll give me the wisdom. Don't give me the job. What I'm praying for is the wisdom of Solomon.
That's right? A lot of wisdom.
Because I wanted to be able to discern how to, what to tell them. This was at a time when if I told them the wrong thing, I could get fired.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you can't say that. Right.
Right.
You know, this was back when you could be canceled, early stages of being canceled.
Right.
And so I thought for sure I was going to get the job because I was praying the right prayer.
Yeah.
Oh, I was praying the right prayer.
Yeah.
All I want is to understand the problem and to be able to give me the wisdom of Solomon, right?
Right.
And I didn't get the job. And so I was in a crash and burn mode for, I don't know, 3 months after that, going, oh, screw it. I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to do that for anybody anymore. And where are you, God? And I had to go all the way back to the beginning.
And the bills just keep coming.
Where are you, Lord? Why didn't you answer my prayer? What's wrong with that prayer? Come on, I want an answer. I got an answer. It took a while. And I grew stronger from that.
Mm.
Right. Same thing just talking about. Yeah. You don't understand it sometimes when you're going through it. But when you get through it and you assess, you know, you can then determine, wow, I hope I never go through that again. But I learned enough that if I do, something else goes wrong, I won't be there that long.
No.
I figured out. But, you know, I don't have to go back and what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong?
God's
nothing.
Ways
he didn't
are,
do anything wrong. He's just working you. He's sharpening you up.
Right. So God's ways are higher than your ways.
That's exactly right.
Right. And so we have to submit to that sometimes because, you know, a lot of things will happen in life where we don't understand. But we still have to trust that God is doing the right thing.
That's right. Hey, here's a couple of things that I told you. I don't know if the people we're talking to are have kids yet, but you had some funnies in here, man. I loved it.
I did.
Yeah, you had some, you know, grandpa stuff. But be a tough but loving parent.
Yes.
Keep them on a short leash.
Yeah, this is general advice to young people.
This is general advice, but I liked it. I loved it. Don't let your children stay with others unless you know the family really well.
Yeah,
I'm not even going to ask what that was all about, but I'm pretty sure there's a story there. We can't assume that everybody, you know, believes the same way we do. That's good advice.
Yeah.
Don't put your kids in public school. If you don't believe us, go back and listen to any program that has Aaron Lee's name in it.
Start with episode 30.
There you go. 30
update,
and 31.
There's an update on episode 104, I think.
Public school is bad. Bad. Okay. Keep a close eye on what you're learning, even if they're in kindergarten.
Yep.
Can anybody say drag queen?
Even if they're in a Christian
drag queen
school.
Story hour. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to stay on top of that. Here's one I liked. Make your kids get involved regardless.
Involved in what?
Get involved in sports, art clubs, hobbies.
Yeah.
Put the tablet down.
Yes.
No staying at home watching the dang television, whatever. Get out. I don't care if you play by yourself, for crying out loud. Here's a stick and a ball.
Yeah.
Hit it or go bang this stick against the garage door. I don't care.
Do not give your fourth grader a phone. Please don't do that.
Don't do that. And don't give them a TV in their own room too early.
Yeah.
Ew.
Never.
That sounds like a good idea. I can tell you that is a bad idea. Even if you have child lock, they have ways.
Yeah.
Right? So let's see. Oh, the comment you made about your hobbies is that keep them away from screens. Okay, we just said that. This will train them to be doers, which I thought was really good. You said this will teach them to be doers and not watchers.
Yeah, if they're doing things like sports,
yes,
like art, like hobbies, they become doers as adults instead of watchers.
Or followers.
They become leaders instead
of
followers.
There you go. That's really good. Let's see.
Boy, whoever wrote that list was a genius.
You did it really. Yeah, was that you? Yeah, that was good. don't coddle your kids and do everything for them. You said they need to learn how to cook, clean, change a car tire. Now, that was classic.
Yeah.
That was the big thing. You got a car.
Yeah.
You know, and the first thing your dad did was say, come over here. We're going to change the tire. And you went, there's nothing wrong with the tire and I'm late to the bar. I mean, I over to my friend's house.
Right.
Right. And it was like, no.
But he says, you don't get the keys
until you change the tire. And you go, oh, for crying out loud. But that's hilarious. My daughters had to learn how to change a tire.
Yep.
And you have daughters. So, yeah, we kicked that one down the road. Work with tools, work in a garden, maintain your home, earn and spend your money responsibly. These are all great fatherly things that you talked about.
Yeah, another thing that I said in there was there's some things that our schools no longer teach our kids. And one of those things is about money and economics. So the parents have to teach their kids about money, how to earn it, how to save it, how to give it. That's important.
You know, one of the problems you have with that is that the parents don't know anything about money.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
I mean, if you're a parent and you know a lot about money,
well,
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the ones that are dumb enough to have two car payments.
Yeah,
they $200,000
in debt.
Yeah, they have not listened to the Ramsey way or the envelope way or some other way to control your desires.
Yeah, self-control.
Self-control.
That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, people. Self-control.
Yeah. There you go. Because all those good things that we just mentioned will come to you.
Yeah.
But only if you can afford them.
Yeah. And if you can learn them, then teach them to your kids first, you know.
There you go.
Accurate history is another one. You know, I have resources in my house. You know, I can show my girls what really happened. The letters that the founding fathers actually wrote to each other so that they can understand how this country was actually founded. Because what they're learning in school is not accurate at all.
All right, you got another one?
I just want to close out here with a verse at the end of the book here. It says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. The Spirit of God is among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things, the earthly things, have passed away.
That's good.
That's the future that is ahead of us if you just keep following that path.
There you go.
All right.
All right.
Well, take a deep breath. Keep the faith. Get in the Word. Remember, we're one day closer. We have a job to do.
Until you send us an email. No. Until we don't.
Until we don't.